Whether you're starting or scaling your company's security program, demonstrating top-notch security practices and establishing trust is more important than ever. Vanta automates compliance for global frameworks like ISO 27001 and SOC 2, and the latest European frameworks like the EU AI Act, DORA, and NIS 2, saving you time and money while helping you build customer trust. Over 8,000 global companies like Synthesia, Flow Health, and Cora use Vanta to manage risk and prove security in real time. Wondery listeners get a special offer of $1,000 off Vanta at vanta.com/wondery. That's vanta.com/wondery for $1,000 off.
When a young woman named Desiree vanishes without a trace, the trail leads to Kat Torres, a charismatic influencer with millions of followers. But behind the glamorous posts and inspirational quotes, a sinister truth unravels. Binge all episodes of Don't Cross Kat early and ad-free on Wondery Plus.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we truly love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today, of course, Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How are you? Guess what? I will be exclusive with you. I will maintain my exclusivity with you.
But does that mean we're boyfriend and boyfriend?
We're work boyfriend and work boyfriend. We're work husband. Let's be honest. We're common law work husband at this point. How are you doing today? Welcome to Watch What Crappens, everyone. We're talking Summer House today, and we have so many exciting things to share with you all. Okay, first and foremost, today is Thursday when we're recording this. Tomorrow on Friday, tickets go on sale for our LA show that's going to be on June 19th at the Henry Fonda Theater, or just the Fonda Theater, I should say. And that's going to be tickets on sale everywhere. Go to watchwhatcrappens.com to get tickets. We have another show that's also going on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. Pacific. Both are going to be 10 a.m. Pacific. But we can't announce what the show is until tomorrow. So keep an eye on our social media. It will be announced on social media what our second city will be. It is going to be on June 12th. I can tell you that much. So get yourself ready. So we're so excited about these two final dates. These are the final shows that will be added to our tour. And watchwhatcrappens.com is where you can get that. And speaking of the tour, we also have two shows next week that we're really, really excited about. We're going back to Austin, which is where Ronnie is based. And we are going to be recapping Summer House in Austin, which will probably be, that'll be wild because this Summer House season is really just like bubbling and bubbling and bubbling. And then the next day we are going to Dallas. We are returning to the Texas Theater where we will be recapping a classic Vanderpump Rules episode. Ronnie, which one is that again? It's episode season six.
Season six, episode five. It's called Sex, Lies, and Audio Tape.
I'm going to write this down. You know what's so funny, Ronnie, is that like yesterday, I think was I telling you yesterday that I got like a pad and I'm like, I'm going to have a pad to write things down. And then as soon as we decided what show we're going to recap, I didn't write it down at all. I have a pad. I'm looking at you reading it off your pad. I'm like, this is why I have a pad, to write down things so I don't have to ask. And it's, by the way, thank you to who sent it. It's the Heather Gay pad that says receipts proof timeline.
You know who has pads? Adults. So
we have that.
I feel very grown up for having a pad. That's why I say that. I'm like, oh, let me write something down. I feel very adulty.
Great because years later you can go through your pads. I went through one when we started Watch What Crappens. I have them all on a shelf and I was just thumbing through them, you know, as old people do. You're like, memories all alone in the moonlight. And I read one and it was like the same. It was like recap Real Housewives of or like take Real Housewives of Beverly Hills notes. Go see Ben for bagel. You know, it's like it was shockingly similar, except the technology was different. And it was like finish your blog on Trash Talk TV and don't forget you have a, you know, later it was like don't forget you have a, what was the thing before take a seat? What was it called? Before coffee hour,
the
before
TV, take a it seat. Was the TV party.
TV party? I was like, don't forget you have to edit the TV party video. That's like a nice little time machine. But yeah, those live shows are coming up. We're going to have so much fun. And then we're going to be in Vegas on May 15th. So that's our first time in Vegas. It's going to be a great time. Also, this week, we did Below Deck Trailer Trash for the new season of Below Deck. That'll be up tomorrow over on our Patreon. And that's also where you get all of our Crappens On Demand videos, like the one that we're on right now. So for all the show links, tickets, links, and all that good stuff, just go to watchwhatcrappens.com.
And the last, we do have a little treat for you all tomorrow. Tomorrow, we are talking to Dorinda Medley and Kiki Monique on the podcast. So
fun one.
Get excited. That's gonna be so fun.
One. So that'll just be a free bonus for everybody. And then also, I would like to congratulate my friend Ben Mandelker for making such another funny cartoon of last week on Bravo, which you can find over on his social, our social, our Tiki Talky. You know, go give Ben a follow on his social and also our TikTok, and you'll see all that. And you're animating all that shit too, which is crazy. Oh, jeez. Crazy.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Life is falling apart over here.
I could do real things with my time, but, I could animate. No, I got the animation bug came back to me like a month ago. And so now I'm just playing around and wasting hours of my time.
That is a real thing.
Video for social media. But
why is that less of a real thing than anything else? You know,
well, I wrote a book instead. Oh, I'm so much smarter.
No, I mean, it's your art, your arting, you know?
Okay. Yeah, no, it was fun.
Just don't do it in an elevator.
Ultimately, thank you. Thank you for that shout out, Ronnie. I appreciate that.
Of course. Okay, let's get on with a little Below Deck. God, it's Friday for us, you guys. Okay,
I'm still writing about that.
Welcome to No Sense Being Made. This intro has been 97 minutes. Oh, I didn't even press record. Okay, I'm pressing record.
It's been a 97-minute intro, and I've transcribed all of it on my new pad. So everyone, get ready.
You can self-edit with the pad work. You don't have to do everything.
Okay, well, we have an exciting episode of Summer House to talk about because I'm very proud of our sweet young Lexi because I think she's doing actually a great job with this situation with Jesse. You know, she came onto the season. She was sort of giggly and one-dimensional and like an influencer model. And I just really just wrote her off as like a non-entity. And you know what? She's being really good at just completely dismissing Jesse Solomon in a way that I just appreciate so much. I didn't know she had it in her, and she's doing a great job. I think her pivot from being giggly to having absolute disgust, like, is great. It's like she remembered that she's actually in a totally different tier than he is, and it's like she's like, wait a second, why
I'm
am
the
I
hot one? Like I'm the hot one.
It's great.
Not that he's old, but you know. Yeah, and she may have seemed three-dimensional when she first came on, or two-dimensional, but her lips have always been four-dimensional. So that's helpful. Her lips have always been giving us a sign that there's something deeper there. You know, they jump right off the screen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, yeah, good for her. And, you know, I hate watching people in love, in real life and on the show. I just hate it. I hate like the deep looking. It. Like I don't want to see that. You know, like making out in the mall. Like I don't want us to do it at home. You know, but I do love that turn when people get the ick. That's the part I really like. That's when my friends start calling me again. You know, because like when they fall in love, then you don't hear from your friends when they're in love, right? You only hear from them again when they want to talk shit about their boyfriend. So I'm like, oh my god, my social life is back. Lexi's got the ick.
She really has the ick in a way that I'm so impressed with how committed her ick is. You know, we're so used to these shows where the guy, the fuckboy, does the fuckboy thing, and then the girl gets mad at him, and then he pleads for forgiveness, and then she says, at the end of the day, like, I want to fight for this, and they get back together, and you're like, why did we even bother getting invested in this moment for you? And then we sit and watch that for like 2 years. But instead, she's like, no, I date celebrities. Yeah. I date the Gerber kid. I dated the Gerber kid. I was attached to a Beckham at one point. You're just Jesse Solomon. I don't know. No, I'm
a proper climber, and I've stayed on this lower step for too long. Okay, I'm going back to social climbing. You're ridiculous. I just feel like watching girls like her get the ick. It's like I'm Pavlov's ick, you know? Like I watch a girl get the ick and I know that it's time for lunch. It's like a ding ringing. It's like, you want to go to lunch and talk about how shitty my boyfriend is? And I just come running. Like, hey.
I'm like, I feel like there's also a Chekhov's something in there too. It's like Jesse is like Chekhov's dimple and she's Pavlov's ick. And
Chekhov's dick. Because you know when you see a fuckboy on Summer House that this is coming. Like you can't put a fuckboy on Summer House and then not expect this moment to come. It's gonna go off. So
he was Chekhov's fuckboy.
Chekhov's dick, baby. You know it's gonna cream badly in the end. Okay, so we pick up where we left off at the bed party, Snooze Fest. Mm-hmm. And it's 9:09 p.m., which means there's drama. And in case anyone's wondering, it's Saturday, August 17th. Where were you?
What? August 17th? So close to your birthday, Ronnie.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll have an episode that's on your birthday. Well, let's see. Your birthday is the 25th, which means it was a Sunday this year. Is that what it was? Do you remember?
I don't know. I barely pay attention to my birthday when it actually is here. I don't remember what day it was on.
It means that next week, with any luck, we will see what they're doing on your birthday.
Yeah. Huge moment coming up. So then I'll tell you what I was doing. I was in bed. So if this party continues, I will be doing the same thing as the Summer House cast did on my birthday, just lying in bed all day. So the guests are partying and the girls are talking to Lexi about Jesse. They've mm-hmm. decided to turn on Jesse and tell Lexi everything. So she's like, oh my God, you guys, thanks so much for being like girls and like having my back. And Amanda's like, yeah, we love you.
Paige is like, yeah, now that you finally started talking shit about someone, we have welcomed you into this household. Congratulations. And even though we've known Jesse longer, he's a guy, so we will kill him. He's dead to me.
And now Kyle is drinking from an ice bong, which I love. It's the same episode as Kyle tries to cry about why Amanda doesn't want to have a baby with him. It's like, you're dressed like a sloth drinking shots out of an ice luge. Okay.
That might be one reason. We see Ciara, she's mingling with people. Amanda and Paige are just standing around and Paige is like, if you just stay still. They'll think you're a prop for the party. And then you don't have to talk to anyone. And they're like, Amanda's like, don't move at all. Literally, it's like Stan sleeping. It's like I'm in a bed, an invisible bed that's vertical. This is actually the best thing we've ever done.
Stand still like you're a prop. I know, Paige. I'm Amanda. You think Amanda doesn't know how to stand still and act like a prop? What do you think she's doing at these DJ gigs? So then Lindsay and Gabby are dancing and like at each other through the window. And then we go back to Carl and Sierra. Oh my God. Talk about just grinding my teeth. You know, my dentist gave me something to stop grinding my teeth at night and I don't wear it. So I keep grinding my teeth, but never as hard as I do watching Carl in scenes like this. Mm-hmm. I need to wear my night guard right now. I need a Carl guard for my teeth.
Carl guard.
Because ouch, this hurt watching this.
Yeah, you know what? Because your teeth, you need your teeth to be a little bit more soft. Oh,
so, you've got soft teeth.
You need to be
hey, do you have Carl and Pebble protection?
We have a Carl night guard. It's a functional night guard.
This is another scene of Carl pretending that he's a real, living, feeling human boy. Let's get to it.
Hey, Sierra, what's up? Any guys through here? Maybe a tall one who wants to drink something that's soft? Anyone?
She's like, well, I never kiss and tell. I goes, yeah, well, I think I've already said too much. Oh,
I mean, I was texting the guys, you know.
And the lights go out. And she's like, did our generator go out? Our generator? Oh, my God. So the lights come back on and he's still there. And she's like, damn, I was hoping he'd be.
I was hoping he was a theater kid and just thought that was a natural transition to move to a new scene. Okay, well, do you want to sit on this little ledge? Oh, well, it's a little risky. I'm starting to take baby steps. It's been like a while since I sat on a little ledge, but I lost a lot of confidence, but I think I can do it.
Yeah. I've been on an emotional ledge ever since Lindsay. I mean, I was just destroyed. I was like a spoon in a garbage disposal, like just ledge. My whole life has been ledge. Let's have a seat. It's a hard ledge.
Yeah, when I met up Lindsay, I was like, I don't know if I could ever go near a small ledge ever again. But here we go. Oh, I'm doing it. Okay, I'm sat down. Scary.
I just feel so brave. I'm so proud of myself.
Feel brave.
I finally sat up the little ledge again. I didn't think I could do it.
I told Lil I could never do this, but here I am. Must be something about you, Sierra.
And she's like, so, have you guys been, have you been chatting and stuff? Or was it just like fun, that girl that you had sex with? And he's like,
oh, yeah, well, we had a good time. I mean, I feel like we're like friends, you know? It was like really cool meeting her parents at a kickball game. And I can say this to you, but like, I have to say, when I had sex, I didn't really perform. Like, I don't think at my optimal level. Just so
we know, Carl.
By Lindsay. Oh.
We know you don't perform, Carl. That's your whole plot line for like 4 years now. Okay. We know
your brand is literally soft.
Yeah. And he does kind of blame Lindsay's. Your brand is soft. Yeah. Soft actually makes a lot of sense as a brand for Carl. Mm-hmm. So he's like, yeah, I just haven't been like anybody. I haven't been with anybody like that. And since Lindsay, so, you know, I'm just walls have to come down. Major walls. And she's like, well, are you going to see her again? And he says, oh, I'm trying not to push too hard because I'm Carl. I push soft, you know, and I just feel, you know, I can't even get a door of a bank open. It's like really it's very soft pushing. You know, I'm trying to calibrate that.
I'm deeply afraid of fires now because if we have to run out of the building, I don't know if I can even open that door anymore. She's so soft. She's so soft.
You know what emergency exits are, don't you? They're hard. They're really hard exits. I'm not good for that.
I used to be able to go through an emergency exit so easily, but I'm just like working my confidence to do it now.
But Sarah's like, so you're switching up because, by the way, guys, you had a blonde, like, and now we're like going for brunettes, and you're doing brunettes. And I was like, y'all, I really need a brunette, you know, like brunettes sort of like the softer of the colors, which is weird because most people think it's blonde. I don't know. I'm kind of mixed up. It's hard. Yeah. Maybe you
it's hard to tell blonde from brunette ever since Lindsay. Oh, I haven't been able to tell hair color that well. Hopefully that'll come back to me. Oh, I'm follically blind. Oh,
it's been so hard. I can't look at hair.
He's like, I need a brunette, Sierra. You need a brunette. Oh, look who's here. Even my arms are brunette. Look at them. Long, bristly hair.
I got a lot of brunette all over me, if you really want to look.
She's like, yeah, well, you're not wrong. I mean, I've been telling the girls, I'm kind of done with white men, right? He's like, oh, whoa. I was hoping that wouldn't be the case. I was, because it's just about to soft launch a concept for you about maybe you and me.
Maybe, but
I mean, whoa. Hopefully my teeth are so blindingly white that I actually look darker than I am. Is it working?
What about white men with yellow teeth? Are you still white if you've got a lot of yellow in your teeth?
So he's like, oh, there goes my chance. Oh, let's be honest, Sierra, can I just say something? Can I say something, Sierra? Okay. I think you're beautiful. You're an incredible person. And I just, like, I have to let you know, like, I have a crush on you. Okay? I've got a crush. Like, you walk into the room and I'm like,
or you're absolutely, like, drop dead gorgeous. But, like, when you drop dead, you land softly, which I like. But also, like, inside, you're, like, incredibly emotionally intelligent. Like, you're obviously, like, very smart, and you have, like, good morals, and, like, you take care of shit that matter.
Okay,
and, like,
I'm sorry, but stop it. You have good morals. If anybody said, you know what, Ronnie? You're beautiful, and you've also got such good morals. Let's get together. I'd be like, fuck off. Who wants to fuck somebody that says that?
I know that you would join me in praying for Lindsay. Goodness.
I know if you had a dollar in a pocket, it would like go into Santa's like little red tin in front of a grocery store around Christmas time. Ring that bell. Ring it.
Wow. Hey, you know what? You know what's great? When I look at you, it's like reading Aesop's Fables because you have so many morals.
You care about shit that matters, right? And like, you're a nurse, and that speaks so much more about who you really are.
Okay, Carl, stop. You like this lady because A, she's gorgeous, and B, because she's like listening to your emotional bullshit over and over again. Okay, you're looking for a service animal, not a girlfriend.
He's just like, well, you're a nurse. You take care of people who are wounded. Well, guess what? I'm a gaping wound. Still bleeding. Please, cauterize me, Sierra. Cauterize me with your good morals.
Like, she doesn't need to be taking care of you, Carl.
Yeah, he's also, Carl famously is not adventurous. And so he's always going to go the easiest path, the path of least resistance every single time. And in this case, it's like, well, there's a hot girl in the house. And she talks to me. I think I'm in love. So yeah. like get out there, go out there into the world, Carl. It's okay. Like you are a good looking man, and you, by all, despite everything, you do seem relatively nice. And so you'll be fine. Get out there. Stop with this act of like baby steps, whatever. Just go on dates. It's not that hard. You're a celebrity.
He's never had a problem finding dates. He's just had a problem not emotionally abusing them. You see? So I don't know if you need more strength to date. I think that women need more strength to date you. I think it's a population thing, you know?
You know what? The sad truth is he probably knows he's flawed. He knows he's flawed. And so it's probably scary to go out dating knowing that his flaws are probably going to undermine something. But with Sierra, she knows all his flaws. And so he knows that she will accept him for the flaws. So he's like, okay, well, this is the person I should date, because now I don't have to worry that someone's going to find out something about me and then decide that they're going to leave me. She knows everything wrong with me, which I get that.
She still keeps coming back like a nurse. Like she changes my emotional bedpan like twice a day. I'm so into it. Every time I shit the bed emotionally, there's Sierra to clean it up.
There she is, my emotional nightingale. You know what, I got up early these days, so give me my Florence Nightingale.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Some people get a wild haircut or book a spontaneous trip when life throws them a curveball. But Molly? Well, she dove headfirst into a world of no strings attached sex, secret rendezvous, forbidden affairs, and unforgettable adventures. And together, we tell every juicy detail in Dying for Sex, Wondery's award-winning podcast that's now streaming on a TV near you, starring Michelle Williams and Jenny Slate. And to top it off, we're dropping brand new bonus episodes where I sit down with the cast to spill all the spicy secrets. Desire, friendship, self-discovery, and the ultimate bucket list of pleasure. This is a story that had everyone talking. Listen to the original Dying for Sex and brand new episodes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge the original series before anyone else and completely ad-free on Wondery Plus.
Everyone has that friend who seems kind of perfect. For Patty, that friend was Desiree. Until one day,
I texted her and she was not getting the text. So I went to Instagram. She has no Instagram anymore. And Facebook, no Facebook anymore.
Desiree was gone. And there was one person who knew the answer.
I am a spiritual person, a magical person, a witch.
A gorgeous Brazilian influencer called Kat Torres, but who was hiding a secret. From Wondery, based on my smash hit podcast from Brazil, comes a new series, Don't Cross Cat, about a search that led me to a mystery in a Texas suburb.
I'm calling to check on the two missing Brazilian girls.
Maybe get some undercover crew there.
The family are freaking out. They are lost.
I'm Chico Feliti. You can listen to Don't Cross Cat on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So he's like, look, obviously I've always thought I don't have a shot with you, but do you ever like walk into a room and look at me and be like, oh, Carl, oh, like, I don't know. Do you ever think that?
And she's like, well, can we turn out the lights again? Let's turn out the lights so I can make an exit.
Oh, wow, all these beds nearby is making me sleepy. Bye, Carl. She's like, yeah, well, maybe before you were engaged to Lindsay.
Oh, fuck it. I took the wrong lazy path forward.
Stymied by Lindsay again. God, now Lindsay ruined my life, and now she's ruining my future life. This is terrible.
I knew I should never have sat down on this ledge. It's so scary up here.
Oh, this is like, so look, bad what she tells him, though. She tells him, you know, I think what's meant to be will be. Are you que sera, sera-ing, Carl?
Yeah.
That is so, ouch. That hurt. That even hurt me, and I don't like Carl. I was like, ouch. You just got que sera's job, bro. Oh, no. Back out of the room. Back out of the room.
Whatever will be.
Like Olympia Dukakis started a movie with this song. This is so sad.
Que sera, sera. Yeah, you've been case of rods, Rod. And she's like, well, also, I feel like me and Lindsay have so much history. And if I did, she would have just thrown me.
And now you're doing it for Lindsay? Oh, God, you don't like it. You don't even like Lindsay. Oh, God, this hurts.
Also, I just don't like stepping on people's toes. And you actually have enormous toes. I just don't see us dancing together. And I also can't have the opinions of everyone in this house. I'm just not willing to start a storyline with you, is what I'm saying. I just feel like there are better people to start a storyline with. I'm already dealing with West. I can't deal with you.
Yeah. And he's like, that makes me sad. It makes me sad. You know, I mean, regardless of whatever, like, I just love having you around, you know, like maybe, you could just like go date around a little bit and then realize like how solid I am.
You're not solid. You literally are building your life on a brand called Soft.
solid as a Carl.
Yeah,
solid as solid. A sock. Oh, well, I guess socks aren't very solid. Back to the drawing board, Sierra. Sierra, I will get hard for you one day.
He's on a quest to get hard. Carl saying that he's solid when his entire storyline is, well, everyone, I just want to announce I bought a Go-Gurt. I was a little scared, but I'm taking some baby steps, and I finally did it. I got the confidence up to get a Go-Gurt. That's too hard.
I haven't had a Go-Gurt since Lindsay terrorized me, but I did it. I did it.
Everything about him is like, everything in his life feels so shaky, like it's about to fall apart. Because that's the narrative he's leading with, is like, oh no, life is scary now.
I'm solid. Solid.
Yeah, I'm solid. So try other people, and then when you get desperate, I'll still be here with a full bedpan of emotions.
So she's like, uh-huh, okay. And he goes, God, I really feel like a loser. She goes, oh, okay. I mean, I called you a loser one time. Okay, we don't whatever will be.
It's like, oh, I just confessed my love for you. And it's like, oh, fuck my life.
Yeah, Carl, you don't get like brownie points for like finding a model hot. You know what I mean?
Yeah, congratulations. You think that Sierra's hot. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
he's like, guys, I'm healed. I made a pass at a fucking gorgeous model. One of the most gorgeous people on earth. Yeah. Maybe I'm healed.
She's like, well, I really appreciate this. He goes, yeah, well, I got unleaded fuel for you, so let's go.
Oh god. Oh, my tooth is literally, my back molar is literally turned 360 degrees at this point.
What does that mean? I've got unleaded fuel for you.
I don't know, but I don't want to know.
I don't like it.
Who said that? Like, we're talking like A9 gas station talk now. Like, what do you
get your Chevron references out of here, okay, sir? Shell.
Yeah, so she's like, oh, appreciate it.
Yeah, I got unleaded fuel for you. Let's go.
Oh, God. So,
like West, you know, West always says West. I feel like West is always saying like wacky, silly things where I'm like, is that slang or is that just West saying something? Because I don't know. And yeah. I feel like he's like, y'all.
It's just that they're learning on TikTok. But no, not Carl. West is like stuff he's learning on TikTok. Carl, I don't even know what or Carl is getting that. I have unleaded fuel for you. I don't think kids talk like that. I don't think they think in terms of fuel yet, you know?
I got unleaded fuel, so come see me at the Carl NPM.
So he has a monologue now. He's like, well, I know I don't have a chance in hell, but at least I put it out there. She'll slow burn, come around. Because Sarah, it's going to work. And if you look back in the last year, I 100% lost a lot of confidence after I dumped someone. And, you know, and finally, after facing some uncomfortable things like dating a strange girl who likes magic, I'm feeling really confident again. And by really confident, I mean really not confident at all. I had to sit on a ledge. It was scary. Oh.
Yeah, you know, I don't trust anything that comes out of Carl's mouth. I don't know. I don't care how sweet he pretends to be as the seasons go on. Carl 8.0, Carl 9.0. You know, I like him a little more now because he's not being actively evil, but I still see that manipulative little guy in there where it's like, okay, here's the end of the season. It's time for me to start going out and getting randos to hook up with me, you know, because I'm on TV. So I'm going to put out the whole like, oh, I haven't dated anybody, but I'm still victimized by being terrorized by Lindsay. And now I have the confidence to try again. Does anyone want to try with a broken man who just needs to? It's like the same thing in a different form every single year.
Yeah. Put him on the Love Hotel. We'll watch that. So
I watched Giselle just decimate him.
He and Shannon would be actually very funny together. But yeah, Giselle would
destroy him. I mean, Lindsay's currently just doing it casually on the side here, because every time Carl does something, she's always like, really? Like, she didn't really hear about any of this, but you know, next week she's going to hear. And she's gonna be like, oh, really? Oh, wow. Carl's a fragile. It's great. So they hug. And he's like, she's just like, oh, you're so sweet. Okay, I'm going to go this way. That's my favorite thing when someone just doesn't even have, like, even a simple excuse to make. It's just like, I'm going to go this way.
With the nice talk. I'm going in that direction. You're not. It's like the unspoken, and you're going to go the other way. Got it. Other so way. He's like, okay, but I'm going to watch you walk away. Whoa, there she goes. There she goes. The greatest love of my life. There she goes. Oh, cauterize me.
I hate to see you go, but I love to watch you leave. Oh, that took a lot for me to say that.
Now we're with Lexi, Tom, and Kyle taking tequila shots in the kitchen, and West is talking to some rando at the bar, and she's like, oh my god, you're like that poem at Christmas, like there once was a mouse, and then it's the night before Christmas, and all through the house. And he goes, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse.
Oh my god, she remembered it. So
this looks like the equivalent of shooting me in the face five times a night. It just sounds like, ow.
It really is. Yeah, because he has like old timey pajamas. And then he's somewhere along the way, he procures a candle and then is able to like go dancing around with the candle, even do limbo with the candle. And he keeps the candle lit. I was like, what? This is, I feel like this is an untapped talent, keeping that candle alive, you know?
It's, yeah. Well, hey, you know, we all show some at some point in life. I'm glad that he's showing one. So we go to Jesse, Paige, and Lindsay. And so Amanda's like, how are you doing, Jesse? Have you been drinking your feelings away? He's like, oh, I'm drinking like a normal amount at a party that I'm expecting to have fun at. But, oh. And he's not happy with Amanda for what she did to him. She turned on him.
The Jesse frown is just like my favorite thing. Because, you know, he's got that super cute smile with the dimples, but when it turns into a frown, I think it's just the funniest look on someone's face. It's like, it's because as big as that smile gets is as big as the frown gets. It's like a full on cartoon frown, and I just cannot stop giggling.
And his teeth are in the same position, like he does this like checking his teeth thing, and he like frowns it down. So funny. It's like his face is in the same contortion as a smile, but it's just slightly like,
and it's like he doesn't know what to do with himself because his smile is a superpower. So when he doesn't have a smile, you can see he's like really out of sorts. He's like, I'm in a frown mode. I don't know how to stop it. So Jesse's like, I just feel like my friends are taking like the worst of anything I say and saying that directly to Lexi. And it's like shifting the energy of every conversation that we have. And Amanda's like, yeah, you're probably upset with us. And she's like so happy. She's so happy right now. And by the way, no one is happier than Paige, who has a front row seat to all the Jesse stuff that's happening. She's like, oh my god, I can't believe, is this really happening in front of us? Like, it's, we're having Jesse drama in the middle of our bed chat session. This is perfect.
Yeah. So she's like, well, Jesse, you can't exactly like come vent to us and then be like, oh my god, I can't believe they said something. I mean, it's us, Jesse. Of course we're gonna say something. You're an idiot. We have to talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, I was like, yeah, it's not us, it's your words. She's like, yeah, but I feel like I'm putting my best foot forward.
Oh, bad pun. Bad pun. Too soon.
Yeah, too soon. Too soon. Literally putting the worst foot at every single thing on that foot. I feel like I'm putting my best toe forward, and I'm not being overly flirtatious, and then things are like getting brought up from like weeks ago. Yeah, but if you're in a 5-week relationship, things that are weeks ago, that's that's a big deal. Okay, it's one thing in like a multi-year relationship, but you only have 5 weeks to go off of. So if something went bad in week 3, that's proportionally, that's a big part of your relationship.
Yeah. Yeah, and you're still not, nothing's fixed, and you still keep lying about things every single week. So you're the one keeping this shit fresh. Like, if you weren't coming in here with lie after lie, and then like, okay, well, now I'm going to try and guilt Lexi into flirting with West. Okay, well, now I'm going to try and guilt Sierra into flirting with me. You're the one keeping this shit alive. I don't think anyone else even really would care at this point, you know? Everyone else would just like to forget, you know? But
and also, he's just kind of like... Like, the easiest thing for him to do was with the toe gate thing would have been like, oh, my bad. In that moment, I thought it was a funny thing, but I can see actually that was, you know, like that was inappropriate and not the right thing to do at all. Instead of saying like, what? You're being crazy. The toe thing wasn't even that bad. You're crazy. You know, what you did with Wes is way worse when you were flirting, when you were basically giving Wes a blowjob invisibly on the dance floor. That was way worse than the toe thing. Like, he's kind of like... It's just instead of taking accountability. So that's, he's already poisoned the relationship.
Yeah. So Paige is like, all right, let's just call a spade, or let's just call a chicken. You know what? I'm really ready to say the word chicken and just mean chicken again. That's going to be so good for me. I love that. I love my future for me.
Remember, so chicken.
If Lexi was here that weekend, you would have gotten your other ball chopped off. Okay. Sorry to make a one ball joke.
Sorry to pluralize it. I will still be respectful of your testicle.
You would have been full all starring in Cry to Heaven by Anne Rice. Castrato. It would have been gone. You would have completely gone.
He's like, why? He's like, no, I would have fucking killed you. He's like, but I wasn't touching with anyone. So then, of course, we see a flashback of him literally flopping his entire body on top of Sierra. And she's like, okay, if I was trying to date you and I watched that, I would have fucking killed you. I mean, how much worse do you want? I already chopped off your ball. Now I'm killing you. What else do you want me to do? What
else do you want me to do?
Kill your dog?
I will kill you with your dog, your mom. And Lindsay's like, I'm saying that you met Sierra last summer first before Wes, then it might have been a different story with you and Sierra. Like, that wasn't great. That just happened. I love Lindsay just being all sober and messy. She just has so much fun. She doesn't even care. She's not getting dramatic. She's just laughing at how stupid everybody is.
Because you also have like all the varsity level girls there now. It's like they all are lined up and they're all there just to take down Jesse. And he has no idea what he has gotten himself into with this group.
It's like Nine, that movie Nine.
The scene was shot in black and white, which was so surprising.
Just all the women of your life are suddenly there like, you're wrong, Roberto.
Fergie is writhing on a chair in the scene. I hated that movie, I just want to say. I just want to put that out there.
I just realized I never saw that movie. I listened to the sound, like the Broadway recording years and years ago, but I didn't even watch a movie because it looked so stupid, but I saw it being recommended somewhere the other day and I was like, oh, that looks kind of good, maybe I'll check it out.
It's so boring. Actually, the only good part is the Fergie part. There's a part where Fergie does a number that's really good, but everything else, it is so drop dead boring.
Oh, maybe I'll watch it, because I started The Handmaid's Tale last season, this final season, and I was like, I don't know if I can take this right now, because I just watched all of season 5 in a week, and I was like, I need a break. So maybe I'll watch something else depressing and terrible. Nine it is!
I still want you to watch The Substance. I think you'll be really amused by it.
I'm waiting for it to come streaming. It'll come out.
Oh, it's still not free?
Ugh. I don't think so. So Paige is like, you put yourself in a pickle, Roberto. And he's like, it was just a joke, though. She goes, oh, a joke. A joke, is it? And he goes, yeah, you know, to make Sierra feel better about it. Yeah, it was just a joke. It was just a joke, you guys.
I'm like, uh-oh. Well, first of all, it doesn't even make sense. It's just a joke to make Sierra feel better about it. Like, I don't understand what that is. And Sierra's like, what?
Sierra's hiding behind an ice sculpture. She's lucky she didn't pick that thing up and throw it at him. Because
she's trying to avoid Carl. She's like,
I'm just going to hide behind something hard.
She's pretending to be a prop. She's just being still. She's like, I heard that this is what you can do. And so Sierra's like, what? You're trying to make me feel better about it? Like what is that? Like, I don't even understand. By the way, when Jesse said this, what do you think he meant by that? When he said, I'm trying to make Sierra feel better about it. I was being totally with her.
I guess. I don't know what the fuck he said. It didn't make any sense to me. I couldn't make any sense of it.
So, and actually, you know what? Luckily, Paige asks, and she goes, make her feel better about what? And she's like, yeah, make me feel better about what? Make me feel better about what? He's like, well, we were still trying to clear the air with you and West.
So he was trying to get her to be nice to West by saying it could have been us. Like, it doesn't. It's like, I guess he's doing the thing like, well, you know, I was flirting with her because she was upset with Wes, so maybe I was buttering her up. I mean, I don't know what the fuck he's saying. So yeah, Sierra's like, oh, so you think that would make me feel better? That you giving me some pity, like, oh, if I was here first, it would have been different. Like, that would make me feel better. And he's like, well, I just thought it was a good conversation. She goes, you're a weirdo. And that was a weirdo statement. You're a fucking weirdo. And actually, fuck you. Fuck you, actually. Fuck you.
I have to say, I have really grown to enjoy when Sierra just puts someone in the doghouse, because I think that's what she learned from Austin, because she did not put Austin in the doghouse enough. But now she's learned that the moment that someone is showing Austin-like behavior, you just immediately just cut it off and it's done. And she, because now I think that, like, when, if you are on Sierra's bad side, she is done with you. And there's like, I think there's like literally no coming back for Jesse now.
Yeah, I think they're friends now in real life, I think. But who knows? Because now they watch all this and then go to the reunion. So we'll see. We'll see how it works out for the poor guy. So she walks off, and then it's partying. Lindsay's shooting a bubble gun. And then there's line dancing. Wes is making an Instagram story, because what the fuck else would he be doing? And then we go to Paige and Sierra, and they're like, oh my God, look at our party. It's so good. This party was a lot of money, okay? This party, I want to tell you, this party costs more than Craig makes in a year. Okay. Breadwinner speaking. Go back to partying.
Wow. Wow. That was so insulting. I'm going to remove every single bedtime thing from all of my stores. That's two stores, and everything you do is about bedtime. It's pillows. Oh.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
At 24, I lost my narrative, or rather it was stolen from me. And the Monica Lewinsky that my friends and family knew was usurped by false narratives, callous jokes, and politics. I would define reclaiming as to take back what was yours. Something you possess is lost or stolen, and ultimately you triumph in finding it again. So I think listeners can expect me to be chatting with folks, both recognizable and unrecognizable names, about the way that people have navigated roads to triumph. My hope is that people will finish an episode of Reclaiming and feel like they filled their tank up. They connected with the people that I'm talking to and leave with maybe some nuggets that help them feel a little more hopeful. Follow Reclaiming with Monica Lewinsky on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Reclaiming early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
So then they're talking about Wes with his candle, and they're laughing. And then Lindsay's getting tired and Kyle's peeing, and we get to see the stream. We get to see nice urine on TV.
Oh, God. I have to hand it to his wiener. It's just, it can perk up when it wants to, because that stream was high. It was like the Bellagio fountain. It was like,
fly me to the moon. And let me play some stars.
It was like, I did it my way. So
my favorite one is the Andrea Bocelli one.
I swear.
No.
There are certain musical artists who I think they, like, okay. I think their goal when they sign up with like a record company is, I just want to make music for water fountains. It's like, oh, sign right here, Michael Bublé.
Yeah, but Rob Michael Groban, Bublé is like,
we've got a fountain for you.
Yeah, Michael Bublé is like a copycat of a fountain, because they never play the Michael Bublé version. They, you know, Frankie was first, baby.
That's true. They play Frank. They'll play some Josh Groban, I think, here or there.
Yeah, Josh Groban is one. Josh Groban became famous by selling his own albums on late night TV for old people. Do you remember that? He would like
put
his
CD.
Yeah. He put his CDs late night on the like, now Josh Groban, and he'd be like, yeah. And then old people bought it. And he was like, he became like the number one artist because old people still bought CDs.
You know what? I love that. I love that for him. Also, he seems like he has a great personality. Isn't that so funny? Like when he first.
Yeah, when he first came out, his music is so cheesy. Although I secretly do love that one song that's like, "You raise me up." Oh God, it's so cheesy, but I secretly like it. But all his music is just like cheesy pop opera. I was like, "Oh, stupid Josh Groban." But like literally every interview I've ever seen of him, he just has the best personality. He's so funny and he's quick and he seems so nice. I love Josh Groban now.
I have to warn you, you're old. You're officially old. That's what that means. Yes.
I have not accepted Michael Bublé though.
Even though he sucks. And he's like weird. He's like, he's a weirdo guy too. Like I will never forget that video that came out a couple years ago of him doing some interview with his wife. And he just gave her that look like, shut up, honey. And everyone's like, oh my God, he's being emotionally abusive to his wife. And I thought so too. I don't like that guy. And I don't like his like, is it Bublé or Bubbly? The water thing. I'm like, here's what you are. You're a flat water. You're a water that stays bubbly for 5 seconds and then you go flat. Long live Topo.
I once went to a wedding and they played that. He has that one song that's like, did it. It almost sounds like Islands in the Stream, whatever, but he has a song he has like one really stupid song that's very popular. And I just remember all like the bride and all the bridesmaids were like singing it. And then the mom of the bride came over and like joined the group and was singing it too. And I was like, it just made me so sad that the mom came over and was trying to connect with all the younger women by singing this Michael Bublé song. And I was already inherently sad that the women were all singing the song and they're all doing it. And I was like, I could never embrace this artist.
Yeah, Michael Bublé sucks. So then, and hopefully Michael Bublé is driving around somewhere just randomly listening to Watch What Crappens. Wouldn't that be funny? Where I was like, why don't we? When no famous person listens to us, it's like Michael Bublé. Our one famous person is like, fuck you guys.
And then I'm going to fold because I can't help myself. And he'll be like, guys, you guys were hilarious the way you made fun of me. I'm like, oh my God, we were just joking. Come on the show, Michael Bublé.
Next week, you're like, oh my God, I had lunch with Michael Bublé. You guys, he is so funny. He's so talented. He should be in Fountains.
You know what I love? I love that song that he plays that like people sing at weddings.
Yeah, I saw the mother of the bride do it one time. It was so touching, Michael. It was so touching.
I am not. I hate people until I find out that they've heard anything I've said and that I love them. I'm just like that. I can't help it. I'm sorry.
Well, we love our audience. That's why. Okay, so then let's see. They're making fun of. They're still talking about how good their party was, and Amanda's like, dance. I mean, I know West isn't our favorite person, but I mean, he is doing a good candle dance. And Sierra's like, yeah, I'll give him that. He is funny. Yeah. And then we see West doing his split.
How about you do a bottle dance? Then I'll be impressed. Okay. How about you get together three men, do a bottle dance on the lawn, okay, maybe get fiddler up on that roof. That's what I'm talking about.
So Lindsay has to go in because she can't dance. Kyle's peeing. And then Lexi is like, oh my God, I love this song, which is funny because all we hear is the regular.
This is Michael Bublé. It's a Michael Bublé remix.
Damn it. And Gabby goes, Lexi, here's the thing. You love every song.
Okay. I love here's the thing. You have to stop declaring this because you love every song and we can't track your tastes anymore.
But Lexi is that white girl who, like, wherever she walks into is like, oh my God, I love this song. And then just starts moving her mouth like she's mouthing the words, but she doesn't know the words.
Oh my God, Rufus Del Sol. So then Lexi goes up to Tom Schwartz, who is still here, just sort of, you know, doing his thing. She's like, Tom, can I ask you a question? From your perspective, what's the most polite way to lock someone out of your room?
He's like, I don't know, but you can call Katie. She's locked me out a lot of times. I have her number. Tell her I said hi. Amanda and Sierra are getting into bed and like giggling, and Paige comes to join them, and they're like, oh my God, we're in like a party with we're in like a bed in a party. This is amazing. And and also I had a bed party and did not bring out one Craig pillow, so I don't know if that gives anybody a clue as to my future, but there you go.
Wow. Yeah. I got these pillows from a company called Assembling Up North, so I'm not No, there was no, it's just coincidental. It wasn't a message.
Glue gunning up north. Great.
Using thread up north. There's not a lot of synonyms for sewing, are there?
Yeah, I got this from a company called Sewing Down to North One. Get over it.
So they're sitting there and they're still watching West, because now he's doing the limbo with the candlestick, and they're amused by it. And Sierra's like, this is like so on brand for us. Yeah, this is like the only party we should throw. Like, I'm not interested in any other themes.
The but Carl like, wants to have
guacamole. Guacamole theme. No, man.
Carl wanted to have a baggy clothes party because he likes baggy pants.
That's so Carl.
Sierra's like, wait, also, I'm not even going to dignify that. Let's just get on to this part. Speaking of Carl, Carl admitted that he has a crush on me. And Paige goes, I'm dead. Just, I literally can't. I'm dead.
No, like, seriously, I'm dead. I'm literally dead. Yeah, and he also said, like,
game party, because I'm dead.
He also said, like, what if, you know, like, could we work out? And I was like, you know, que sera, sera. Oh, my God, you que sera him? Oh, jeez. Oh, God, I'm grinding my teeth.
Dead.
Literally dead. My muller. Oh, my muller just came out. I ground it 360 degrees. Well.
Hey, when they find my corpse tomorrow, just say she died doing what she loves doing best. Dying in bed. I'm dead. Literally. She died in her sleep. Because my body's right here.
Yeah, like, I mean, like, I love Carl, and, like, I loved having a relationship with him this summer, but, like, I mean, I'm going to jump off a bridge if I date someone else in this house. And also, like, Carl. It's Carl.
Yeah, please don't do that. Let's just push him off a bridge instead. Amanda's like, well, I think he might be confusing, like, your kindness and friendship for, like, something more, because you're, like, one of the few people that have really stood by him and cared about him, and he's like, that's what I need in my significant other. It also explains why he also told Kyle he wants to date him. So
he told the Uber Eats driver that he wants to date him because, you know, he brings him food when he's sad. It makes sense, really, if you think about it.
I have it under good authority that he wrote an email to Barry of Barry's Bootcamp and asked him to go on a date.
I'm dead. I'm literally dead.
Dead. Literally dead.
So Amanda's like, I mean, and you're beautiful. So, I mean, he's confused, you know? He just gets confused. Are you? And Sierra's like, am I confused? If I want to date Carl? And she goes, oh, I mean, well, it's me and Kyle. It's just me and Kyle. I don't know what that meant. I got lost in my own note.
It's fine.
Sierra's like,
pages of notes.
Yeah, so now they're talking about Jesse Solomon, how he's learned nothing tonight, and they want to get into real bed so they can debrief the party. And Sierra's like, yeah, fuck Jesse Solomon. Like, he said he was doing what to make me feel better? I'm like, you think that I need you to pity me? I mean, wow. And he said he's trying to make me feel better about Wes. Like, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm. No, that was him trying to get out of something, and then he thought he was saying something nice, but it's like, I don't need someone to make me feel better about a guy over there holding a candle. It's just Wes with that candle. He's literally holding a candle. It's like more pathetic than Craig, than literally anything Craig has done. Craig owns bees now, and that's still worse. It's a candle. A man with a candle.
Jesse's embarrassed that he shared his real feelings, so that's the only out he had, which was to lie, you know?
Hello there. This is a two-part recap, okay? This is the end of part one. So thank you so much for listening to this. Just come back a little later for part two.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
It's always a party on Allison Block.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
She can run my country. It's Angie McGovern.
It's always automatic with Ashley Otto. Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila. She's a Daniela. Itchels.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no trickle.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie, she has no left.
last namey.
She's our kind of mess. It's Jennifer Messer.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
Bringing the funk, it's Leslie Plunkett.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
We love her on the rocks, it's Melissa Cox.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
Tastier than Flanderson, it's Rachel Manderson.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V. Can't lose when you're with Amy Baldwin.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Let's go into the woods with Guy Tubbs.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
It's our queen, it's Queen Laifa.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
Know your worth with Jason Kurth.
Hail the cork master, the master of the cork, Jennifer Corcoran.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony, Junie.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
She gets an A, it's Kelly B.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
We're on the floor with Molly Dorsett.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
It's always a good time when you're wasting time with Bravo.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kutar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Hey. Hotels.com here. Tired of the everyday? We know a hotel that's ready to unwind this weekend. Book hotels with spas in the Hotels.com app. Find your perfect somewhere.